You survived severe burn covering 70% of your body at 18. Could you tell me how this happened and how this influenced your later career?
So I was injured a long time ago. I was in my late teens. As you said, a flare is a bomb that the military sends up to the sky to light up a battlefield. And mostly magnesium, very hot. And one of those got exploded by mistake next to me. Very intense heat. And burns, the depth of the burn, the like first degree, second degree, third degree, is really how deep it is. First degree, some of the skin is gone. Third degree, there's no more skin and you have to do transplants. And everybody had a little burn at some point. And people think, okay, you have a burn, it goes away. It turns out that super limited burns and large burns, superficial burns and deep burns are very different. In my case, there was a need for lots and lots of skin transplants.
Yeah.
In the early days, my week, they would take, I don't have burns on my upper thighs. So they would take something like a cheese slicer. They would put me to sleep. And they would take this cheese slicer and slice thin skin from my upper thighs. And then they would wake me up. And the next day they would transplant it on a different place. Before they would transplant, they would take a metal brush and they would rub the place that they're going to transplant it because they wanted to get rid of the dead cells. So if you put skin on dead cells, nothing good happens. You need to rub it to make sure that all the dead stuff is done. And some bleeding is available because blood is also oxygen. And then you would put it and then 2 weeks later, some of it would catch, some of it wouldn't catch. And 2 weeks later, do the same thing. And that's the process. Being a patient is always complex. When people call me these days to talk about their injuries, I usually say, put a timer for 3 years. And people say, no, 3 years is so long.
Yeah.
It ends up being much longer than people think. And in my case, and it's true for burn patients, there's the initial stage when there's a life danger. And the life danger is really about infections. Our skin is our biggest organ. It does lots of things. We don't think of it, but it does lots of things. It protects us from infections. When you don't have it, an infection can really spread very easily and people die. The danger starts, the real life danger starts from about 30%. It burns at about 70. But one of the difficult points was that after about a year and a half, I was almost done with my burns being covered. So I almost had no open wounds, some, but not, mostly it was over. And what I didn't expect, there's an improvement, right, in terms of that. And what I didn't expect then was that my skin started shrinking.
Really?
It's a very bad skin. You just transplant, like when you take with a cheese slicer, the skin has multiple layers that have different functions. They would take only the top layer and a little bit of the middle layer. Because if you take the full layer, it will never grow. And if you take too much, it will never grow. So they take something. So this skin is just not that good skin. It's all transplant. There's no sweat glands. There's not lots of things.
Don't have.
Anyway, after a little bit less than a year and a half, I'm almost done with the open wounds. But then the skin starts shrinking. And what I mean is that I would sit with my elbows folded, like watching a movie. Like in the beginning, I was just in bed. So I'm in bed and I'm mostly in a Jesus position. Stretch arms to the side, head to the back, to stretch the scars as much as possible. Then from time to time, I remember the first time I sat in a chair and my knees are folded, my elbows are folded, and I watch a movie. At the end of the 2 hours, I can't straighten it.
Wow.
It's like this.
Yeah.
Start stretching and stretching and stretching, a little bit like how kids do Indian burn, and I can't make it. And the physical therapists come and they stretch and they stretch. And that became my biggest challenge for the next couple of years, where every time I would let go of being completely stretched, my skin would stretch and I would then need to undo the work. And sometimes I managed, sometimes I would manage to straighten my arm again, and sometimes I wouldn't. So sometimes I would, it was a little bit less, and then a little bit less, and then a little bit less, I would lose the battle. And then they would have to do surgery. So if you look at this arm, for example, there's lots of things here because they would cut it and they would put new skin. So I would fail. And my legs are the same thing. My neck is the same thing. So that was a second kind of a battle that was, first of all, I didn't expect it. Nobody prepared me. Everything was about saving life, covering the wounds. Nobody prepared me for the second step of feeling that my body is fighting against me. But it was very tough, partly because I didn't expect it, and partly because it was very psychologically devastating to feel that my body was fighting against me this way. Anyway, lots more to say about this, but life in hospital, going back to your question, life in hospital is like a magnifying glass on some aspects of humanity. It's a magnifying glass on dealing with pain. It's a magnifying glass of having no control. It's a magnifying glass on trusting other people. It's a magnifying glass on fear. It's a magnifying glass on pain medication. It's a all kinds of things. And I was very much concerned with pain, very much wanted to reduce the pain I was having. Initially, it was the pain of the bandage removal, which was incredibly excruciating. But then it moved to other things, and I was looking to improve things. Initially for myself, then I was thinking about things more generally. And when I left the hospital and I started studying psychology, I learned about the experimental method. And I learned that I had this amazing professor. He was a double amputee. His tank, his vehicle went over a landmine, and he lost both of his legs. He experienced tremendous pain throughout his life. But he had this approach that says, if you have a question, put it to an experiment.
Hmm.
And we did together my first experiment ever on pain. And then I kept on doing more experiments on pain. And my whole purpose was to figure out how do we improve the human condition. If I look at now, many years later, my general approach is to look around and say, what human endeavor, which domain of life do I think that we're underperforming? We could be here and we're here. Sleep, we could do better. Spending money, we could do better. Hate, we could do better. So I look at different things and I say, where do I think we could do better? And then I say, do I have the tools to prove that we could do better, that we're underperforming, to understand why is it that we don't do better, and then to propose some solutions, test and make sure I know how to do better. So that has become my mode of operation. I look around and I look for places where I think humanity is underperforming and ways to do things better.